A warm and happy Mother's Day to all of our moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms, moms-to-be, spiritual moms. Today is your day. We celebrate you. We thank God for you. And I'd like to read one of the great Mother's Day passages in the Bible, which is what we heard just a few minutes ago on page 1018 of your church Bible in the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter, the very first chapter. And let's just read a couple of these verses and make some comments as we think of the great calling that God has given to our moms. At the very end of his life, Peter, that is Simon Peter, Peter the fisherman, Peter the disciple, Peter the apostle, looked back and thought about those things that are really, really important. Peter picked up his pencil then in about the year AD 60 and wrote to his friends around the Roman Empire, probably from the city of Rome, and he begins this letter talking about the things that are most important that every believer needs to hear. He writes of six truths that we need to surround ourselves with. Yes, these truths are for all of us, but they are certainly true for moms. And so we're going to talk this morning about six truths for happy mothers. This is for everyone, every mom, and every one of us who loves the Lord Jesus and follows him just like the Apostle Peter did. So listen as I read these. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and see if you can pick out these six as I read this passage. Verse 3 says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires." Six truths for happy moms. The first one is this: God has given you all that you need. Listen to verse 3 again. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we've all said, if I only had more, if I only had better. And if we haven't said that, we're thinking about it all the time. But this first promise that moms need is this: God has already given you everything that you need. His divine power has granted to us all things. Now, this is not all things, but this is all things that we really need, that pertain, that have to do with, that lead to, that relate to life and godliness. That is, God has given you, moms, and all of us, everything that he wants us to be. Everything that you need to be a Christian, to live the way God wants you to, in your particular circumstances, you already have. Have you ever put together a puzzle with those missing pieces? Or have you ever, in my family, put together a puzzle with one of those bratty brothers and sisters who always like to hide the piece until the very end? Because they want to be the one who puts the last piece in. It's frustrating putting together a piece without all the puzzles. But God has given us all the pieces of the puzzle that he wants. What are those things? We've been redeemed in the past. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us right now. We have his word to guide us. We have the church to walk with us. We have a hope to look forward to. We have his wisdom from his word. We have the protection from the total destructive power of the devil. He has given us great and precious promise. God has given you all the tools you need for life, and I think this is entering into the kingdom, and for godliness, that is living daily in the kingdom. Everything you need as a Christian to live the way God wants you to live, in your circumstances, you already have. We're always told, don't live in the past. This tells us to live in the past, because this is in the past tense. God has already given to us the things that we need. God has given it to you, mom, all the pieces. Nothing is missing. You say, well, if only my husband knew the Lord, then all would go well. God knows that, but he has already given you everything that you need to be who he wants you to be in your situation right now. If only I could overcome this darkness in my mind that just plagues me day by day. God knows, but he has already given you that, what you need to be who he wants you to be. If only my child could be healed. Yes, God knows that. But according to this promise for a happy mom, God, by his divine power, has already granted us all things that we need to be who he wants us to be. Not to be somebody else, but to be who you want. He wants you to be. Where do all these things come from? Two places. Look back at this verse. His divine power has granted to us. It's all of his mercy. He has granted it to us. Not because you are a super mom, has he given you these things. Not because you have it all together. God is the God for moms who don't have it all together. God is the God for messy moms. Why? Because he has granted to us all of these things. So that's the first promise that we all need to hold on to. We have all the pieces of the puzzle that God wants us to. Moms, dads, and the rest of us. Now there's another place where all these promises come from, and that's what leads us into our second point here. Point number two, God aims his power directly at you. Let's go back to verse 3, where we read that his divine power has granted all things. God aims his power directly at you, mom. Curiously, it doesn't say that his wisdom gave us all things or his compassion has granted all things, but his power. His power has put all the pieces into the puzzle that we need. God's power does not only make galaxies and Himalayas and tornadoes and thunderstorms and parting of the Red Sea. It directs it right at you, points it at you, mom, moms who love and follow Christ. His divine power. Now notice in verse 3 that it says his divine power. Not as if God looks at his strongest angel and says, hey, there's a mom down there, she's weak, give her some of your power. No, this is God's personal work in your life. His own power comes directly to you. His divine power. This makes me think of the prophet, Old Testament prophet Samuel, his mother Hannah, when she was at her weakest point. Power struggles with her rival. Her husband didn't understand her. Her pastor accused her falsely. She called on the God of power, the God who sees and the God who hears. Moms, raise your boys with a vision of the power of God. Surround your daughters with a grand vision of the strong and living God. Boast often in your home that we serve a powerful God. Remind your husband when he is weak that God is powerful. Surround your household with this truth from the prophet Jeremiah. Do not let the one who is strong boast in their strength, but let the one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Mothers of promise, remember this point. God aims his personal power directly at you. And this leads us to our third truth, our third promise for happy moms. The third is this: Christ's connection with you is deeply personal. The truth that Christ's connection with you is deeply personal also comes out of verse 3, where it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Here it is, through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. It's not simply knowing facts about God, but it's knowledge of him. It's knowing him. This is our faith. This is our reaching out to God. This is our affection toward God. This is our intimate relationship with God through our knowledge of him. You know, we are not marionettes held up by strings doing the work of the puppeteer, and the puppeteer moves the head this way and moves the head this way, but never looks up. No, we are not puppets. We are not machines. We, in God's religious plan, we are not robots. He sees you as his precious daughter, his intimate disciple. We are not blindly following some religion. You know God. You know Jesus personally. That intimate relationship that you longed for with your husband that maybe not be working out for you can only be fulfilled in knowing Jesus. You long for the day, young moms, don't you? When you can do more than babble and goo-goo gaga at your little children. You long for an intimate knowledge relationship with them. That's what Jesus offers. It's through our knowledge of him. In Africa, where we've lived for a number of years, the local religions have no knowledge. The local people have no knowledge of their own God. God is a far-off dictator. He was tired of us, and so he walked away. There's no connection. There's no knowledge of God. But no, God allows us to know him. And so, moms, impress this upon your children, that they must know Christ personally. Their faith cannot be yours. It must be theirs. That they must know Christ. Sunday school is not enough. Summer camp is not enough. They must take Christ as their own. They must also have this knowledge of him. Make this your highest goal for them. If they turn out to be the valedictorian or the starter on the soccer team, fine. But you pray for them that this most important thing would be in them, that they would know Christ personally. Mom, sometimes you feel like a machine, don't you? Cranking out the diapers, cranking out this, running to school, back and forth, but not in Christ's kingdom. Christ has that connection with you, that deeply intimate, personal connection with you through your knowledge of him. Well, we learn the next truth also in verse 3, where it says, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. We learn from these words, the fourth truth is that God is the one who initiated your intimate relationship with him. God's the one who started it off. Do you hear these words in verse 3? Who called us? This tells us that it doesn't all depend upon us. In this world, moms seem to feel that they are holding the entire universe together. You are holding so many pieces together, and you often call out, how can I hold it all together? Keeping my husband happy, keeping my children fed, keeping my career going. It all depends on me. But listen to this great truth. He has called us to his own glory and excellence. Your relationship with God did not initially depend on you, but on him. He called you. He summoned you. He drew you. Jesus made this very clear in the Gospel of John. He says, no one can come to the Father unless the Son first draw him. And that's what Jesus did to you if you are a follower of Christ. What a relief this is. It doesn't all depend on me. Moms are in the calling business. You're calling people all day long, aren't you? You're calling the kids to get up. You're calling to the bus driver to stop because my kid's still getting their backpack organized. You call them to come for supper. You call them to stop fighting. You call the dentist. You call the doctor. You feel like calling 911 to take you away, to rescue you out of it all. You're in the calling business, but so is God. God also has a call, and he has called you, dear sister. It began in eternity. It came to you in your life. You responded willingly, and it guarantees that he is in charge of you and loves you deeply. The knowledge of him who called us. God initiated and God started it. Now you ask, wait a minute, what would God see in me? What would compel God to call and initiate a sovereign relationship with little old me? Here's the answer. Peter writes it. He said, out of his own glory and excellence. Not your glory, because we don't have it, but it's because of his own glory and excellence. His choice of you came from his own volition, his own beauty and integrity and goodness. Isn't that such a relief? Moms think that life depends on her, and it probably does. I can't afford to get sick, or the whole world will collapse. It's a nice relief to know that our salvation has depended on God's fixation of us. He began it, and he will continue it out of his glory and excellence. And this leads us to the fifth truth for happy moms, and we see this pushing on into verse 4. And the fifth truth is this: God encompasses you with great and precious promises. We see that in verse 4. By which, that is his glory and excellence, he has granted to us precious and very great promises. Can you imagine this? What's going on here? God has made you great and precious promises, moms and dads and all of us. You see, we often think that our relationship with the Lord is a one-way relationship with an arrow going from the bottom to the top. That God's up in heaven saying, I am big, I am God, I am holy, you are small, you are sinful, you are puny, you obey me. And the whole relationship is a one-way relationship, our obedience to God. But it's not that way only. It's not the way it is. The arrow of relationship and interest is also pointed downward, from God down to us. Yes, God demands our obedience, but he also showers his children with great, great promises. That's the double side of the covenant vow, isn't it? I will be your God, and you will be my people. His promises. Those are his pledges, his oath, his guarantees, his assurance, his promises. God binds himself on oath to his children. What mercy, and we get it all. Now, what exactly are those promises that we need to surround ourselves with? Moms, with all the pressures that you're under, remember the great and precious promises of God, such as the following. Such as the one from Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Or how about the one from Isaiah 43? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. How about this promise, Mom? From James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Moms, surround your boys with the great promises of God, like the one from Isaiah 40 that says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Or how about the one from Isaiah 54 that says, though the mountains shake, my love for you will not be shaken. How about that promise that your boys are going to need from 1 John chapter 1, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Throw this at your young men. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Raise your daughters with the great promises of their heavenly father that they have toward them. For example, the one in Isaiah 40 that says, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. Teacher, the one from James 1, which says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, and it will be given. Or 2 Chronicles chapter 7, which says, if my people humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. How about this one? If the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. And then when your husband is down, open God's word and throw promises of God at your man. Show him you really love him by telling him that all things work together for good from Romans 8. Or that if God provides for the birds, he will provide for us. Or that he will never leave us or forsake us from Hebrews 13. Or from Philippians 4, my God will supply all of our needs in Christ. To be a happy mom in Christ, reflect on this fifth truth. God encompasses you with great and precious promises. Well, let's close with the final truth that Peter, the fisherman, the disciple, the apostle, wrote down at the very end of his life. And the sixth truth for happy moms is this: God desires that you look just like him. We see this right in verse 4. Look at the outcome of God's great and precious promises from this verse, verse 4. It reads, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, here we go, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, that's positively, here's a negative side of the same thing, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God's vows lead us to looking just like him. This kind of sounds spooky, doesn't it? Losing myself in the divine, being part of the participating in the divine nature. No, he's not talking about losing somehow your identity in divinity, that you somehow merge into the essence of God. No, it simply means that as you immerse yourself in the great and precious promises of God, you become like him in his character. Your heart becomes like his, your character imitates his. Your heart beats with the things that God's heart beats after. Your priorities become God's priorities. You become thinking like your maker. Isn't that astounding? Show me another religion in which you get the follower, get to look like your God, his character. God allows us to participate in him. God's not a standoffish God. He says, I want you to be like me because I love myself so much. We get to look like his character. You've just seen this, haven't we? Line up these eight babies, and you'll be able to pair them off one by one with all of their moms and dads. Yep, Pearl has EJ's earlobe, and there's Brian's middle toe on Lucas. Silas drools just like his daddy. And Mariah cries just like Connor does. Little Eden is even starting to do the thumb pinky shake, just like your California dad. For better or sometimes for worse, children participate in the human likeness of their parents. So too us with our God. We get to participate in the divine character. Wow. The God who made us like himself now allows us to look like himself. Mom, see how much God loves you by allowing you to look like him. The greatest gift that you can give to your children, the greatest thing that you can give to your husband is your godly character. What a privilege. What a challenge. What a challenge. Am I living up to my calling? Friends, as we close, I don't want you ever to separate verse 4 from verse 3. Verse 4 is the promises of God. Verse 3 is God's sovereign work in your life. Don't ever think that God's promises to you are like a salt shaker salting your eggs and all the little bits and pieces come out separately. They don't. God is not Santa Claus who comes and randomly gives you gifts. All of God's promises come to you covenantally because you are part of a covenant. God comes to you with a relationship package, and all of his promises are part of that package. It's a covenant relationship. It's not the rich uncle coming and giving gifts to the children. It's the I do. If you separate verse 4 from verse 3, God becomes your boyfriend and not your husband. The boyfriend who gives you this and gives you that without any commitment at all. But God has said to you, I do. And the I do brings everything. Verse 3, it's God's power, it's his grace, it's his granting two times that he has given to us. It's his calling. Verse 4, then, is what comes to us. All of his great and precious promises. Mothers and fathers and all of us, let's surround us with these great six truths. Let these six truths heal you. Maybe you've come this morning and you've come with all sorts of bruises and wounds and sores festering, open sores, history, memories, and you struggle to get over the past. Let these truths heal you. Don't wallow. Don't let the past that shapes you define you. Let these things, look who you are from these truths. Look at who you are. You are called, you are loved, you are rescued. You are the target of God's power. You are equipped with everything. You have an intimate relationship with Him. You are the object of His vows. Maybe for you, the issue is not your past, but your future. You're looking ahead, and the days ahead of you are getting fewer than the days behind you, and you worry about what's ahead for your children, for your own health. You're seeing glory face to face, and you worry. There are fewer years in front of you. Immerse yourself deeply in God's covenantal commitment to you. Or maybe you're good with the past, and maybe you're okay with the future. You're not really worried, but you're faced with the present and all of the insanity that is in front of all of us all the time. Throw these truths at your heart. Seep yourself in them. Or maybe you're just lazy. You're just lazy, and you need these truths to give you a hard kick in a soft place and just get you going. This is your calling. How dare you wallow in such lifeless faith? Or maybe you need to come to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Because you see, the great and precious promises have nothing to do with you if you are not part of His covenant. Yes, God may sprinkle good things on you because He is a good God, but they are not covenantally packaged. And you need to come to Jesus Christ for the first time this morning. Your worldview is not working. Your self-help strategies are breaking down on you. Come to Jesus. Come to the great promise keeper. Listen to the great promise keeper's word when Jesus said this. He said, "Truly I tell you, if anyone hears my voice and believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He has not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." What a happy mother you can be.